Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined in the studio by a musician, singer-songwriter, Jack Savaretti.
Yeah, we really
proper football fan. Yeah. Has played, told us some great stories, tales of charity matches with the Stars. Very nice guy.
Very nice. And talking of nice guys, Martin Kellner.
Martin Kellner, the limited bandwidth of a telephone today because he's not live to Ho Chi Minh City on Talk Radio, but... He'd watched some sport on TV. You know, he can't put too much into it.
I think he was a bit tired after the election.
I think he was.
He was up all night.
So
losing money as
we
well.
Heard all of that. And what else did we do? We had a chat about various things. Yeah, covered some ground. Mm. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. That clattering that you heard as we came on air there is the Champions League trophy leaving the studio.
Yeah.
It's so big, it needs a removal firm to
get rid of it. I know, yeah. There's a lot of people in yellow jackets, wasn't there, really?
And big wooden boxes.
Yeah.
It's massive, though, but good to see it.
Well, yeah.
Unlikely to see it again in the next few years,
I'd say. You say that. Good to see it.
Well, you know, it is.
Yeah.
We had our hands on it once.
Yeah.
It's been downhill since then, but never mind.
Mm.
It always was going to be. Now, excuse me, I need to clear my throat.
Oh, blimey, he's in a bad way.
Bit of a pterodactyl.
He's going to make a really big speech now.
Oh,
I think,
I am,
after
yes,
that.
Yeah, very yeah. much. Good evening.
Yeah.
Good evening. Yeah. A football match in Essex was abandoned after sheep invaded the centre circle.
And bad pun alert.
Well, that's right. Bad news for a couple of players.
Oh, yeah.
Marvellison Kamba and Demba Ba. Thank
for
you very much.
Goodness sake.
The headline should have been, "Who are you?" But it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
For some reason, anyway. No. You can join in with that if you like.
Yep.
And Diego Maradona has sued Dolce & Gabbana.
Has he really? Well, both of them.
Both of them, yeah.
Wow.
I always think Dolce & Gabbadon would be good, but Dolce & Gabbana.
I'm sure Danny's up for that, getting a piece of the action. Yeah. Dolce & Gabbadon.
If Gabbana leaves.
Yeah, we want someone with a similar name, preferably someone who played for West Ham and Wales. That's the direction we're taking the whole brand in.
Yeah.
Yeah,
with Moose is our main model.
Yeah.
Catwalk.
God, this bodes well, doesn't it?
Not really.
Andy starts to wind down about sort of Thursday evening. That's right. We have to plug him into the mains Saturday morning.
And I'm back on Sunday.
He's like he's on a low heat now until Monday morning.
No, Sunday. I'm on Sunday.
Oh, so you're on Sunday, are you? On the Max again?
Yeah, I'm on the Max.
Right,
yeah.
Nice one.
The boss has told me I've got to do better on Culverhouse. I really better try this week.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, Diego Maradona has pocketed £59,000 in damages from a top fashion brand, Dolce & Gabbana, after a model wore a Napoli shirt with his name and number on it. And Maradona said, "I've just been informed from Italy today that the trial ended against Dolce & Gabbana for using my name without permission. Tributes are fantastic, but I think they should pay." So, I mean, honestly...
Good point, though, isn't he?
Oh, blimey, the bloke was just wearing a Maradona shirt. I mean, on that basis, you'd be suing everybody, like Lionel Messi.
Well, they're using it well enough. It's not just a bloke in a Maradona shirt. It's someone in a... You've got me at it now. It's someone who's in
I knew your mistake would be my fault.
It's even got that wrong. It's in a fashion show. So
yes.
It's slight, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, 59 grand.
A bit from me to side with Diego after what he did.
No.
I'm sure Peter Shilton and Terry Butcher don't want to see him paid out.
Absolutely. No. And I enjoyed the exchange between Sean Dyche, you must have seen this, Paul, with that he bumped into Jose Mourinho next day on his way to Harrods.
On the Sunday, wasn't it? Yeah.
On the Sunday, I suppose he was down with the wife and they did a bit of shopping.
Yeah.
But he said, it was a strange moment for both of us. His face was actually more shocked than mine because he was plodding along and I saw him with his hat on and called out to him. He said a bad word out of surprise and then said, sorry, your wife and children are there. So basically he heard this gruff voice, oi, Jose. And then he started swearing at him. Oh, no, it's Sean Dyche. Which is really odd, because you think he'd have recognised his voice.
He wouldn't have been swearing at him. It was an exclamation. Do you know? He wouldn't have,
he didn't
give him a kind of a load of abuse.
Oh, you're defending him now. He's a Spurs manager.
Yeah, no. But you see someone you don't know, your last thing you expect to see is, it's his job, by the way, to see Sean Dyche there in the street outside Harrods.
And he just went expletive.
Sean, you know, but he's not gone in and give him a full. He's not give him the
full
bring your mates and bring your dinner, is he?
Probably not.
No, he's not gone in.
I wouldn't mind if he
did. No.
We were having a very interesting chat about spoilers, then. Yeah.
Well, it's only that Toby was.
Toby Gillis.
The producer knows how to push your buttons, and Toby Gillis is thinking they're going to see Hamilton.
No, he went to see it last
night. Oh, he went to see it. And so the producer said, oh, ask Andy what he thought of it. Because every time you ask Andy what he thought of Hamilton, the popular West End musical, of course, transferred from Broadway to much acclaim.
Yeah, much acclaim.
Andy
yeah.
basically does a performance of it for everybody, and it's a bit scary, quite loud. And do you want to give us a bit of that performance?
The Hamilton, and no one's going to speak it. Of course, they're just going to sing like this, and it goes on, and that's really quite annoying. The Hamilton.
And you didn't like it?
No, I didn't like it
at
all.
And you left at half time,
I left at half time. He loved it, which is
fair. Beat the traffic.
I did beat the traffic.
Yeah.
I was so delighted when the wife told me I could go.
Yeah.
Because I was having to pretend the first half that I was enjoying it, so I was applauding like mad. And so at half time, she turned around to me and said, oh, I'm so pleased you're liking it. I'm not really. I've got to be honest, I'm hating it every second of it, but I didn't want to spoil your birthday.
Oh, well, it's still a hot ticket,
Andy. So she sent me home.
Apparently you don't have the influence in theatre circles.
No, so I was saying that...
Ken Tynan.
No, I'm definitely not. Yeah. I can swear like him if you want.
Yeah.
So I was leaving Miss Saigon. I'd been to the matinee performance.
Does she know?
The musical Miss Saigon.
Oh, yeah.
And I was leaving the matinee performance, and there was a queue of people waiting to get into the evening performance. And as I was leaving, I was going, don't bother.
Yeah.
Don't bother.
Well,
don't
I was telling you about this fellow after Sixth Sense. And look, I'm working on the basis that it's been about 20 years, so you should have seen it by now.
Spoiler
alert.
So
he comes out, and he's going, oh, he's dead all along. Dead all along on the line. Just dead all along. What? That's such a bad thing to do.
It's a very bad thing.
And then there's
that
moment where quite a lot of people obviously are not realising what it is. But then they suddenly realise, and that's it. Some people walking out the line.
I might go down to the mousetrap tonight and just tell people before they go in.
Who did it?
Exactly.
You could be the king of the spoilers. You could go and see things and then afterwards do the twist.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
That's Jack Savaretti and Candlelight. I'm very pleased to say Jack with us in the studio. Good afternoon. Good to see
good
you.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me, guys.
We're going to play the Christmas single a little bit later.
Thank you very
much.
We'll
play out with that. We'll have a chat about that as well. But
cool.
You are touring as well, is that right?
We've just finished a tour. We just did sort of 22 dates in 30 days in the UK, sold out, which was incredible. Mm. Beautiful theatres. We deliberately sort of chose to do it in a theatrical setting. I think this album kind of lends itself more to sort of beautiful theatres than rock clubs. We've done our fair share of rock clubs in the last 15 years that I wanted to sort of I don't know, tried to classy it up a little bit.
A different sound, I would imagine. A different, even on stage, it must kind of be like a different experience from the band's point of view.
Completely. And we, you know, I have a violinist who tours with me now. The sound of this album was very influenced by Italian cinema from the 60s, all the stuff that I grew up, my dad listening to a lot. We went to Rome to make this album. So everything about this record was a lot more theatrical rather than inspired by the sort of the rock or sort of rock and roll acoustic folk era that had inspired me before previously.
What's the album called?
Singing to Strangers. And that was basically something my daughter said 2 years ago when she was describing to a friend of her,
what does your dad do?
And she said, I don't know, he goes around the world singing to strangers. And I just thought, well, that's about right.
That's brilliant.
That's fantastic. We were talking just now about Soccer Aid and you played in that. And what a great experience that must have been.
It was a phenomenal experience. It was a phenomenal cause. I mean, they raised in the tens of millions of pounds. So I'm super proud that UNICEF got me involved with anything of that magnitude. But the experience of, you know, walking out onto that pitch, I had Michael Essien and Didier Drogba, and I couldn't help myself. I had to do the selfie moment with the boys. And I really got along with Michael Essien. He was just divine. And, you know, the whole experience was brilliant. And the fact that we won, we were losing. They put me, even though I'm born and raised in London, they put me with the rest of the world because my name is Savoretti. Sign of the times. Yeah. Exactly. They put me with the rest of the world.
And John Terry gave you a bit of a reducer, didn't he, apparently?
He did. So I actually, the only almost good thing I did was I read a situation. I can't remember who it was, took a shot on goal. And I knew the goalie wasn't going to hold it. I knew it was going to bounce off him. So I took the run, and it did bounce off, ricocheted off the goalkeeper at all, and I had it bounce literally in front of me. And had I played football a little bit more often in the last year or prepared for this, I would have probably been able to do it. But I had John Terry next to me, and his shoulder just like sort of brushed me, but it felt like I was being punched by a heavyweight boxer, and I just tumbled like a sack of potatoes. And yeah, it didn't go great.
You were also saying to us in the break that you were exhausted in the warm-up and the kickabout, and that's actually quite understandable because you're so nervous.
Well, you're so excited. You get this rush of adrenaline, you come out, and you forget that on TV nobody sees the warm-ups or anything like that, but you forget that you're playing. There's still 40,000 people in the stadium there cheering, looking. So every time there was the warm-up pre-match, and then in the halftime, because I knew I was going on in second half, in the halftime I really thought, okay, I got to up my game here. Mm. And you're warming up with the likes of Roberto Carlos, Eric Cantona, who are passing you the ball, and every touch they do is silky smooth. So you're really making an effort. Like, your heart rate hits the roof. But by the time, and then Harry Redknapp calls me up, because he was our coach.
Yeah.
And he goes, all right, where do you want to play? And I was like, well, to be honest, man, it's been, you know, keep me on one of the wings. That'll be fine. Because then at least I'll stick in my corridor. I'll know my positioning. Otherwise, I might get lost. He's like, I'm going to need you in the middle.
And
I was like, Harry, don't ask me to go in the middle, man. I used to struggle in the middle when I played properly as a kid. Don't ask me now at 35. And he shoved me in the middle. And I had actually Jamie and who else was with me? I think I had Jamie, who was so sweet. He was playing with England in the same position. And I basically just leaned on him. I was like, do you mind if I just hold on?
You said there's an equivalent in Italy as well, Jack, that there's a kind of couple of charity teams and you turned out for them as well.
Yeah, the first one of these I ever did, I had an amazing experience at Juventus Stadium for Partita del Cuore. It means the game of the heart because it's for a heart foundation in Italy. And I was on an incredible side with Del Piero, Nedved. Pavel Nedved actually gave me an incredible through ball on the 70th minute, and I was alone in front of the goalkeeper. But the goalkeeper was Palermo's goalkeeper at the time, who now name I can't remember. And he blocked it, and Andrea Dovizioso from MotoGP put it in the back of the net. So there's this great shot of me, Dovizioso, and Del Piero like hugging, jumping up and down, which is something I'll always remember.
That's great.
And I ended up taking a shower with Del Piero, which is also something that I will never forget. I played a game.
You got to the water before he did.
Yeah.
Short, isn't he?
Right? Well, I'm not exactly that tall either. But I did it as well in Genoa 2 years ago, and I got knocked out on the third minute. Literally was unconscious for two minutes.
So you've got to be careful. I mean, because, you know, if you're touring or you're halfway through an album and you break something and there's...
Well, Soccer Aid was in the middle of tour.
Studio time,
I played a match. The Soccer Aid, the match was on Sunday. I had a show Saturday night.
Wow.
So it was, I'm not going to lie, I didn't arrive in full fitness, peak of my fitness. And you guys have no idea how serious like the musicians and the actors take it. Didn't realize. They really, some of them prepare for months. Mm. And they're proper fit, good football players. Yeah. I came a little bit too lighthearted, so... Hopefully, if they ask me to do it again, I'm going to start. When I'm ready to start prepping in January.
Brilliant. So you're a Genoa fan. That was a kind of a family link in Italy, was it?
It's a big family link. My great uncle founded the football team. It's actually Genoa Cricket and Football Club. It was founded. It was he was a president. The founder was an English doctor in 1893, and my great uncle took it over. And when they won the last Scudetto, which was just before the war. And then when the war happened, their English coach and sort of all the staff found that it kind of became a bit complicated for obvious reasons. Fascism got involved, so they had to... There should be a movie made about the coach, because he sort of left, had to hide in the mountains with his wife. His wife was actually caught and was a prisoner of war. Wow. But then after the war, he was asked to come back. There's an incredible sort of history.
You can write the score, Jack. Yeah. So that would make sense, wouldn't
it? Well, I've written the anthem for Genoa, and we're sort of in talks with the football team. I have actually written...
Brilliant.
Because they sing You'll Never Walk Alone, and I think it's amazing, but it's sort of strange that they do that.
It belongs to Liverpool, doesn't it?
It belongs to Liverpool. I mean, Borussia Dortmund, I think, sing it as well with a bit more meaning. I relate it entirely to Liverpool. Mm. I think it belongs to Liverpool and Liverpool alone for so many reasons. They've asked me to write something, which I have. But I'm just terrified of it picking up and it be the year we get relegated, which every year is possible for us. So,
Now, you've got a Christmas single out, haven't you, as well?
Yeah, I did. I wrote this song for my kids. I have an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old, and Christmas, as anybody who has kids knows, it comes back to life the minute there's children back in the house. Mm. And I wrote this song sort of, it was a silly thing that I wrote for my daughter at the piano. And somebody in the record label heard it, and they thought, well, why has nobody else heard this Christmas song? And so this year they decided, because we've got a bit of attention this year, maybe it was the year to show people our Christmas song.
Do you give the kids the kind of Italian Christmas experience, or is it quite a sort of Anglicized? And is it different?
It's Christmas Eve, isn't it?
So for the grown-ups, we do the Italian thing, like, because when my family come over at Christmas Eve, we do very Italian Christmas Day and Boxing Day. Yeah. Boxing Day is a very British thing too. Mm. And that's my wife. My wife is British and English, and as am I. By birth and by document. So it's an Italo-Anglo Christmas for sure.
And the video's an animation, isn't it?
It's an animation of... I really wanted this to be about my children. This was a bit of a Christmas gift to my children. I wanted it to be something that when they look at, they don't know there's Papa again singing a song. And so I wanted to make it about them. And we play this game, you know, in the morning, especially Christmas morning when the kids jump into your bed and all that. And we always play this game with the kids under the sheets, under the covers. There's a whole new world and they go exploring. So I wanted to make a cartoon, these cartoon characters... about our experience, this sort of world under the covers, this magical world.
And how old did you say they are?
My daughter is 8 and my son is 4.
So you're still getting the 2 o'clock. Has he been yet, Dad? Has he been banging on the door from 2-3 in the morning?
Yeah, of course. We're very excited. We've been writing up. We've been sending off our letters. I mean, while there's been a lot of all this distraction with the elections and stuff, we've been busy writing, you know, Christmas wish lists for Father Christmas, sending it off to Father Christmas.
Fantastic.
And, looking forward to... just having a magical Christmas.
You've got, you've got a big gig at Q. That's next year, isn't it?
We've got all the festivals sort of lining up. Q Gardens do these amazing performances. I think it's going to be us. James Blunt is doing one. Will Young, James Morrison, Gypsy King are going to be there as well, which I would definitely try and blank. I'd love to see them. So that's going to be, it's a beautiful venue, hopefully with the weather holding. But right now is when all the festivals are sort of to start coming in. So I think we're going to have we're going to have a really busy summer.
And good luck with the Christmas singles. If it lands and it becomes one of these perennial Christmas hits. Yeah.
There's your pension.
Just ask Noddy Holder.
I hope that it stays more than, I don't care about, I've never really tried to lose any sleep over charts and all that.
Yeah.
I just hope that it's something that resonates with people. I think it will resonate to any parent, mother or father who travels a lot, and this is a promise of being there on Christmas morning.
Fantastic.
I'm looking at the video now. It's lovely.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
We'll play a bit now. Lovely to see you, Jack. Come and see
lovely
us again.
To see you guys anytime.
And thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Let's play a bit of Jack Savaretti's Christmas Morning now.
Christmas morning, I'll be here, and you can tell me why.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Time for a whole week of sport. Not 5 days, not 6 days, but the full 7 days of sport. Here, sort of untangled, explained by squad number 9, Martin Kellner, who's
struggling with the
not
technology.
Not in the building today, no. And has not mastered Skype. So, is it at our end we have the problem, or at your end, Martin, in terms of technology?
I have no idea. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, caller. Thank you, caller.
I was just switching off the telly and getting my headphones.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. We caught you out, yeah. Did you?
Honestly, they're gutted in Ho Chi Minh City today that you're not going to be on tonight.
Yeah, they've been rioting.
Apparently they have. I've seen it in Hong Kong. It's been shocking.
Yeah, because you've not been on.
No.
So, Martin, what have you watched this week?
Well, I've been... You know, I don't like to watch council TV.
Yeah, you told us.
It's a little bit in for a dig. It's not quite how I like to behave. So I've been watching Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay.
And, I switched on for the Andy Murray documentary, which he's been publicising quite a lot. I know his mum's been out publicising it as well, Resurfacing. I don't know whether either you've seen this documentary. I know Andy has a huge interest in tennis.
Well, it sounded about it, and it sounded a bit graphic for me. I don't think I wanted to see his... Do you actually see his hip operation?
Yes, you do.
Oh, no, I live with it. I've definitely lived without that.
I was going to say, it's a cracking documentary for anybody who's particularly interested in hip surgery.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even have to be interested in tennis if you've got an interest in hip surgery. It's, I mean, it's just too much of it, really. It's a whole year, and it starts at the beginning of 2018, and you see him waking up after he's just had the surgery. I mean, what you do see from it is that, and I think we've caught on to that already, the fact that Andy Murray isn't the sort of grim, dour character that we all thought he was. You know, he seems to get on very well with his people, a lot of people around him. I mean, you may be surprised to know that such a team goes into, one tennis player. He has his own physio, his own various, his own trainers, various different disciplines and all that. Interesting enough, he has nicknames for all the people who work with him.
Right.
So, yes, he's got this guy called Mark Bender. I'm not making that up. Mark Bender is one of his...
Can we try and guess?
I don't think I want to know
his
nickname.
I'm going with Benz. Does he call him Benz?
No, he calls him Slender.
Slender,
okay. Which he says is ironic because he's not particularly slender. It's rather the way you used to call a guy Shorty, who was very tall. So I think, well, this is now we're getting the sort of level of Andy's humour there. He's got another trainer.
No need to ever go at me.
No, Andy Murray, not you. Sorry. Andy Murray, don't take it personally. Yeah.
I'm just used to it on this show.
Yeah. So give us one of his other entourage then.
Well, then he's got Matt Little, who's his physical trainer. Matt Little's known as Treeks. He doesn't explain why
Treeks.
Treeks. Okay, yeah, right. Treeks. Treeks. Yeah. And Jamie Delgado was the coach. Mm. And then I'll quote, this is Andy's quote here. He says, "We know him as Delgi, which is self-explanatory." Yes, his name's Jamie Delgado, and they've managed to come up with the nickname of Delgi. Delgi, you see.
Yeah, good.
But self-explanatory. Anyway, we go through it month by month, and it's a real struggle for him. And you have real sympathy, because every time he seems to be... But we sort of followed the story, if you're interested in his progress during the year. Mm. You've sort of followed the story anyway. But, you know, you've got to admire the grit, really, of, you know, keeping going.
Yeah.
So if you're at all interested in tennis, but especially if you're interested in hips, that is well worth watching.
Okay.
Resurfacing is on Amazon Prime. I also, while I was there on Amazon Prime, I watched Take Us Home, the Leeds United documentary.
Okay.
Which is rather good. That's a seven-parter, and it's just the whole of last season. And you think to yourself, we've probably been slightly better off doing this season, because, of course, the climax of that series of last year was the fact that Bielsa stayed. You know, Bielsa had to stay with the club. The climax this year will be automatic promotion, I would think, almost certainly.
Wow. They were probably saying that this time last season.
Because I'm fascinated by Bielsa, his role in world football, his influence on other managers, and all that. How much of him comes across in the documentary?
Quite a lot. I mean, my theory is that most managers have to be mad. You know, probably they're mostly, sort of clinically, there's something wrong with them. You know, most football managers, the best ones, you know, the Brian Cloughs, the Mourinhos, the really good ones.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bielsa sort of bears that out, you know, all the interviews that he gives. They all seem to be a bit off-centre, and you think, surely this man can't inspire a team of footballers, but, you know, clearly he can. And obviously, with his knowledge of world football, the players they bought have worked, certainly worked this season. But it was interesting, because the general view was that he doesn't stay at teams very long. And when it all fell away after Christmas last year for Leeds United, you know, the conventional wisdom was that he was going to go, you know, that he wouldn't stay. So it's a good climax to the show, the fact that he stays. Lots of good interviews with all the Norwegian fans and all that. A fair bit about the history of the club. And Andrea Radatzani, the owner of Leeds, he's an interesting figure as well. And Amazon Prime did the one about Manchester City as well. Mm. You know, when they get that kind of access, you do feel it's a slight, you know, the whole thing's been slightly manicured.
I do wonder, Martin, if this is the kind of diminishing sort of genre, because there are so many now in so many different sports. There's a lot in football. They've done them in rugby. They've done them in football. I mean, in the end, you know, the great thing about Access All Areas is that it used to happen very rarely as documentaries. And they would, you know, even if you weren't a Leeds fan or a Boca Juniors fan or a Juventus fan.
You'll watch the Spurs one, though.
Yeah, I watch the Spurs one because I care about Spurs.
Yeah,
but I mean,
well, that's,
I think
what they're aimed at, right?
I mean, I remember watching the old Sunderland one years ago and stuff, and they were fantastic because you never had that sort of access. But they now seem to be, they're sort of 10 a penny, aren't they, Access All Areas?
Mm, that's true.
They are. It just depends how wise the you know, the people are who are allowing Access to All Areas.
Yeah.
The Sunderland one, you felt that they got a lot of access that the club would rather they didn't have, to be honest. Mm. And I think, again, it depends on what happens at the club. You know, if there's something if they've got Access All Areas for a whole season and something sensational happens within that season, or something controversial, you know, or something newsworthy, you think, well, they've hit the jackpot there, and you'll definitely watch it. So I suppose they take a gamble. And I think with Amazon Prime, it's obviously also a case of trying to establish it as an outlet for football fans.
Mm. I think Amazon Prime should follow Andy around for a year. That would be, I mean, that would make a fantastic documentary. Oh, the bloke, whenever he leaves house, gets involved in some kind of scrape, sneezes in someone's face, stacks it on the underground. I mean, every day something happens to you. You'd just be fan. They wouldn't have to sort of turn that up to 11.
No.
You're just a natural phenomenon, really.
Who'd want to watch it, though?
I'd watch it. I think you'd be surprised, That's two viewers.
The producer's nodding, that's three.
Three, okay, yeah. The people, right.
Come on, Amazon.
Yeah.
I'm wishing a come and get me plea.
Come and get me plea to Amazon. The Andy Jacobs, cameras following for you.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'd rather watch it than back of the net, to be honest. their offer, their weekly offer for football fans with John Bishop, Gabby Logan, and Peter Crouch. And we all want to see more of Peter Crouch because he's nowhere near enough of him.
You should say that because I've got a note on my in my notes today that. Basically, he's the new Ryland.
Well, he is doing a series for the Euros next year. We're reading the papers today. He's going to do a kind of fantasy football for the Euros
thing, though.
Yeah. Well, I think he's just going to become overexposed too soon. I mean, he's a very likable character, and I can see why he's been picked up by, you know, here, there, and everywhere. And when he's a pundit, he's good. You know, you see him on BT Sport, you know, doing Europe matches occasionally, or the weekend Premier League, and he is good. But, you know, there's too much of him. He's all over the place, and certainly back of the net. I'm not a huge fan of John Bishop, and I know he's probably been on your show many a time, I suspect. But, you know, again, he's likable enough, but there's a limit to how much you can take.
Blimey.
Well.
But it is typical of TV that somebody becomes, it can be Gemma Collins or Peter Crouch or Ryland, who are good. They all got
Scarlett Moffat.
But then suddenly all the other producers that are a bit witless and they haven't got any ideas for themselves, they just go, well, he's good, let's get him, you know. And then the executives go, well, can we get Peter Crouch? Because it's the last person they saw.
Well, let's do a show. We'll get together with Martin. We'll get Scarlett Moffat, Gemma Collins, Crouchy, and who else are we going to get involved? Who's on Mr. Zeitgeist or something?
I can't remember.
Do you mean current Zeitgeist?
Yeah.
I can remember a time when Derek Jameson used to be on everything. You know, they were doing a panel show. They'd get Derek Jameson on.
Yeah. Well, when you're hot, you're hot, Martin. That's the key. You've got to, when you've got it, flaunt it, as they
that's
say.
Right. Yeah.
So, have you watched anything else this week before we let you go?
No, not really. I've got to be quite frank with you. But, you know, Christmas coming up. Yeah.
You've got better things to do, haven't you, really?
Yeah.
Sit there and watch sport on TV.
Well, precisely. Yeah. I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning to see how my bet went in the general election.
Okay.
It's more money gone down. I backed no overall majority. Which, you know, at some point, that was looking good at about, you know, just before election day, say Wednesday.
Hope it wasn't a spread bet per seat, was it? It cost you a few quid.
Oh, God, no, no. Although I did back Truckett and Mooney to win in his seat, so I lost on that as well.
God, blimey.
So it was a disastrous election for me, really.
If you're going to lose money, stick to the horses rather than being
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. So I was busy with that, actually.
Okay. Well, we understand. We call this sport on TV. I mean, you gave it your best shot, and we thank you for that.
I didn't watch the council TV. I obviously watched the West Ham match against Arsenal on Monday.
Yeah.
With growing dismay. I don't think I've ever been more depressed.
Really? Whatever?
No, but ever watching a football match.
Wow.
You know, I've been as depressed in the ground where you think, oh, my God, I've got to queue up for the tube now. But I've never been as depressed watching a match on TV because it was just so predictable.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. And this is often the case on a Friday. There's one or two clips that don't quite make it into the final cut that we bring you as a bit of bonus material.
Because we had about 19.
DVD extras. Mm. And we got a couple of clips from Fisherman's Blues. And Andy, the first one was your one, wasn't it?
Well, it's Nigel reminiscing about a guy. Well, actually, just talking about a bloke he knows.
Okay.
A lad I know. I say a lad. I haven't seen him for years. I knew him as a schoolboy, but he's probably in his 40s, if not 50 now.
Not much of a lad then, really. He's a sort of middle-aged man.
50-year-old lad. And the other one was furnished by the producer, and I think he deserves the payoff line. He's got his own microphone. He deserves to give you the payoff line. Why should we take all the glory? Of course, if he doesn't get a laugh, it's his fault and not ours.
It's his big debut. So, No pressure, John.
John, why don't you set up what the clip was?
It's Nigel talking to his caller about, I think it was the name of his angling club.
Okay.
They're based in Reading now. It was around Maidenhead because we were called AE4 because there were four of them. On or around the A4.
Bit like my cycling club, we're called Racing. Have you got your radio on, Keith? I'm getting a bit of feedback.
Strange name for a cycling club.
It's a good gag. It's a good gag.
Like, I think that could have gone in the main one.
Thinking about it, we should have put it in there.
Sorry, John, we should have put it in.
Yeah, we should have got. Well, yeah. But there we are. So there we are. Extra couple of clips. Have a fantastic weekend. We will be back on Monday from 1.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.